The reading today is from Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding his shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated as we watch this video. Good morning again. Welcome to the Living Water Church. We're continuing this series that we began on Easter Sunday, I Need a Miracle, Experiencing the Extraordinary Power of Jesus. And so during this series, we're studying some of the most incredible miracles of Jesus and just also discovering why you can have that type of miracle in your own life. And today, I want to talk about what do I do when I feel like I can't see my way, when I feel like I'm blind, like I just can't discern what my next steps ought to be. So go ahead and grab those message notes I just talked about a second ago so you can follow along during the message today. And as a pastor, I've had these conversations with people where things come up where they say, you know, Pastor Todd, I just can't see how this relationship is going to work out. Or I just can't see how I'm going to make it financially. Or I just can't see my way out of this mess that I find myself in. I can't figure out how to go forward. I just feel stuck. And so if you're struggling with a circumstance today like this, then today's message, today's miracle is going to be really important for you. Because your vision, how you see, impacts everything that you do in your life. It impacts your security. It impacts your stress and how much stress you have. It impacts your stability. Everything in your life is impacted by your sight and by your perspective, how you see yourself, how you see the world, and especially how you see Jesus. So to illustrate this, I want to show you a few images, and as you see this image, I want you to see what you see first. There's going to be a couple of possible things that you see, but just kind of notice what your eyes are drawn to, what you see first, okay? So here's the first image. Do you see a vase, or do you see two people looking at each other? You know, kind of just see it. You don't have to answer it out loud, but which one do you see first? Maybe you see both of them. I see the two faces first, and I have to look a little bit to see that vase. All right, here's the second one. Okay, what grabs your attention? What image do you see? Do you see an older woman, or do you see a younger lady? Okay, so which can you see on that one? You know, for me, I saw the younger one that's kind of facing away, and I had to stare at that thing forever before I saw the older woman. And so in the picture, if you don't see the older woman, it's the one with the great big nose and the chin that comes down at the very bottom. Or if it's the younger lady, you see she's kind of looking off to the side. But they're both there. Which one did you notice first? Okay, so this next one is a little bit tricky. All right, which do you see? Do you see parallel straight lines, or do you see lines that are kind of crooked, kind of curved? This is tricky because it's an optical illusion. These are actually straight lines across. They are not curved lines. And so you kind of have to focus at each line to be able to see, wow, that actually is straight. And so it's tricky. And it kind of shows us that sometimes we see things and we don't necessarily see them correctly. All right, here's one more image, just an ordinary eye chart. Okay, you should be able to see this clearly. So can you see and read the letters below that third, fourth, fifth line? I mean, if you can't, then maybe you shouldn't be driving. I'm just kidding, of course. That's actually a blurry chart. But it's there to illustrate that that can be how life is, right? Sometimes we just can't see clearly. Sometimes it just seems everything is blurry and we can't figure our way through. I mean, do you ever feel that way in life where you just can't see through a tough decision? You can't see through a relationship that's just really tricky. You just can't see your way through this financial crisis that's in front of you. And it's in times like those when you feel blind and you feel stuck that you just really need a miracle from God. Well, today I want to look at a miracle story of how Jesus gave sight to a man who was blind. And we're going to find lessons that will help us when we experience our own type of blindness, maybe a spiritual blindness or a situational blindness where we can't see forward. So our first scripture passage is found in Mark chapter 10. If you're following in the notes, it says chapter 11. That was a misprint on my part. It's actually Mark 10, starting in verse 46. And this miracle, it occurs towards the end of Jesus' ministry. Jesus and his disciples are in this process of making their way to Jerusalem, where Jesus is going to be arrested. And it says, then they reached Jericho. And as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. Okay, so notice that they've entered and left town in the same verse. All right, and this large crowd is going there, but they seem to be moving very quickly towards Jerusalem. There's this sense of urgency in their travel. Now, Jericho is about 18 miles from Jerusalem. Not that far by car, but kind of a long walk on foot. And so I've got this map up here, all right, and it's kind of in a position here where you can see where Jericho is above Jerusalem. It's kind of close to the Dead Sea and the Jordan River, and it's about 18 miles straight uphill to get from Jericho to Jerusalem. So there's not a lot of distance left on Jesus' journey. This is the same Jericho where about 1,200 years before, Joshua and Israelites marched around the walls of Jericho seven times, and those walls came tumbling down. It was in Jericho where Jesus met Zacchaeus. It was about Jericho that Jesus' parable, the Good Samaritan, takes place on that road between Jerusalem and Jericho, the same road that Jesus and his disciples are about to travel. So Jesus is leaving this ancient city. He's on his way to Jerusalem. A large crowd is following him. In the midst of all this, he has this encounter. Verse 46 continues. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. Now, an interesting note here is that Bartimaeus is one of the few people who Jesus heals that we actually know his name. Now, this miracle must have made such a big, great impact on the disciples that they remembered Bartimaeus' name and even his dad's name as well to include it. Now, I want you to imagine that you're Bartimaeus, okay? In your imagination, you're blind, okay? You're sitting beside this road, and all of a sudden, you start to hear this commotion. You hear this large crowd coming your way, and keep in mind, this isn't some small group of people. This is a huge crowd following Jesus, and you've heard the stories as the crowd comes nearer, and you hear the voices, I should say, as the crowd comes nearer, and maybe your first thought is, okay, this is good news. There's a lot of people coming by. Maybe some of these people will have some mercy on me and have some sympathy and throw me some extra spare change my way. And so you start to rattle your cup and you make some noise so people start to see you and get your attention from them. And so then all of a sudden you hear someone, as they're coming by, say that it's Jesus who's coming through. and you've heard about Jesus. You've heard how Jesus can heal people. You've heard how Jesus has even healed blind people before. And you want to see. You want to see more than anything else. And you think, this is my chance. It's now or never. And then look what happens at verse 47. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Be quiet, many of the people yelled at him, but he only shouted louder, Son of David, have mercy on me. Now, if you're a blind beggar, on the best of days, you're an annoyance. You're a nuisance. But even more than that, people just naturally back then looked down on you. You know, because you're blind and you're helpless, but also because they believed back then that if you were blind, it was because you were somehow a bad person or your parents were, and that's why God caused you to be blind. And so you're blind, you're kind of an annoyance, but then you're also not this good person either. You're an outcast. And so here's Bartimaeus, blind. An outcast. People look down on him, and now he's acting like a fool. He's embarrassing the entire town by screaming and making a commotion. He's interrupting others who are trying to get to Jesus. And so they tell him, Bartimaeus, shut your mouth. Stop talking. Be quiet. And the Bible says that lots of people, many people, yelled at him. They were probably denigrating him as well, but Bartimaeus was undeterred. This is his only chance. So he calls out even louder, ignoring the people who are yelling at him to be quiet. Now notice that Bartimaeus, he calls Jesus Son of David. And that's an important title because that's a title that was given to the Messiah. So Bartimaeus recognizes that Jesus, there's something extraordinary about him, that maybe he could be the Messiah. And he believes that Jesus is the one who can give him the miracle that he so desperately needs. So our story continues, verse 49. When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, tell him to come here. So they called the blind man. Cheer up, they said. Come on, he's calling you. And Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. I mean, isn't that just like a crowd? You know, their opinions change on the dime. They go from telling him to shut up and by then telling him to get moving. You're taking too long. Come on, get up here if you want to meet him. It's also noticed that they told Bartimaeus to cheer up. It's possible that Bartimaeus had called out for Jesus, but instead of hearing Jesus call to him, he only heard the people around him telling him to shut up and sit down. And maybe he thought, oh, I've missed my chance. Maybe he began to think, you know, I think it's too late. Maybe he'd begun to cry and began to give up on getting himself this miracle. But with Jesus, as we're learning in this series, it's never too late for a miracle. When Jesus called, Bartimaeus jumped up and came to see Jesus. Verse 51, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked. My rabbi, the blind man said, I want to see. Now, to be honest, on the surface, this question of Jesus seems to be kind of a dumb question, doesn't it? I mean, what do you mean, what do I want? I'm blind. I want to see. But this is a more important reminder for all of us about prayer. Yes, Jesus knows everything. He knows every single one of our needs before we ever say it to him. But he also wants us to come to him and ask. And when you come to ask, we're to ask specifically for what you need as a sign of our faith so that when you receive the miracle from Jesus, you know that it came from him and you know who to give him all the credit and all the glory. The fact that Bartimaeus brings his big need to Jesus and calls him the Son of David shows that he believes that Jesus is the Messiah. And it shows that he has faith and he believes that Jesus can heal him, that he can restore his vision. So we go on to verse 52. And Jesus said to him, go, for your faith has healed you. Instantly the man could see and he followed Jesus down the road. couple things to notice here. Okay, first of all, Jesus tells Bartimaeus that it's his faith that healed him. As was shared last week, an important component of receiving a miracle that you need in your life is faith. Like Bartimaeus, you need to have faith to believe that Jesus is who he says he is and that Jesus can do the impossible in your life. Then notice after the miracle, Bartimaeus follows Jesus. And when God does a miracle in your life, in the same way, you shouldn't just say, thanks, God, and then forget about it. It should inspire you to choose to follow Jesus all the more closely. It should so impact your life that it changes your life. And so right now, as you think about yourself and your situations, are you having a difficult time seeing your way forward in something in your life? Maybe it's not physical blindness, but it may as well be because you just can't see what's right in front of you. Maybe it's spiritual blindness, and you just kind of feel like you're in this spiritual fog right now, where like you just don't know where God is, and you just can't sense his presence or hear his voice in your life. Maybe you're in a relational fog, and it's a relational blindness. You just don't know how to repair what has been broken. Or maybe you're unhappy in your career, and you sense that maybe God might be asking you to make a change, but you're just not sure what to do. Well, here's the principle. Every miracle has a message. Every miracle has a message, including this miracle of Jesus healing Bartimaeus. When you need a miracle, God has a message for you. And today I want to show you how you can experience a miracle in your life so that you can move forward. What do I do when I can't see my way? So here's the first step, and that is that I trust God's plan. You know, write that in. I trust God's plan. The first step in when you can't see your way is to trust that God does have a plan for your life, even when you can't see it yet. And not just any plan, but a plan that's designed specifically for you, with your best in mind, a plan that'll grow you into the person that God created you to be. And God knows everything. And he's always good, and he's always faithful. You can always trust God's plan. But this can be difficult to do when you're in a tough situation and you just can't see your way out of it. When you have no idea what to do, you have no idea what's coming next. So when we're fresh out of school maybe and you're just, I have all this debt and you have no idea what you should be doing with your life, or maybe you have this important decision to make and just have no idea what direction you ought to go. There's just several choices, or you know, you're maybe nearing retirement and you've worked your entire life and now you're just having a hard time seeing your purpose, your next direction in life. Well, here's the thing. Well, even when you can't see what's ahead, God can. And even when it seems that God is silent, he's still working behind the scenes for your very best. And that's why we can trust his plan. Look at this next piece of wisdom from Proverbs chapter 3, beginning in verse 5. Says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Trust God with all your heart. Even when you can't see your way, God can. So don't depend on your own limited understanding. Instead, depend on God's perfect understanding. And no matter how lost you feel, no matter how scary that future may seem, no matter what unknown possibilities might lie ahead, you can trust God's plan. Seek his will and listen to his direction. And once you submit to him, and you say, God, I'm going to trust your plan, even though I don't quite know what it is. Here's the next step. When you can't see your way forward, I cooperate with God's purpose. Write that in. I cooperate with God's purpose. As there's a message in every miracle, there's also a purpose in your blindness. When you're confused and you feel lost, and it feels like you can't hear God's voice, even then, God is working. But there is danger, because while your blindness might not be a sin, it can lead to sin if you don't see God and His plan clearly. Okay? And so sometimes, rather than us taking the time to reach out to God and ask for His help, like Bartimaeus did, we think we've got to just do this on our own. We've got to decide the next step. I've got to figure this out on my own. And so rather than seeking God, like Bartimaeus did, we just make our own way. I got to chart my own course. I can't hear from Jesus right now, so I just got to move forward without Him. But that can be a huge mistake. Because even in the times when you feel lost, God is still working behind the scenes for your best. God, Paul reminds us that in Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes everything to work together for good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. And so God, He's always working for our good. If you love Him, if you're pursuing His purposes for your life, He is always working for your good. And while that doesn't mean that bad things won't happen to you, it does mean that God can take anything that's bad or anything that's hard and turn it around for your good if you let Him. But for this to happen, you need to be obedient. Even in your blindness, you need to stay close to God and His purposes. Even in your uncertainty. And this isn't always going to be easy, because there are going to be times when God's purpose for your life doesn't align to what you hope is going to happen in life. In fact, I've found that many times God's purpose is different than what our purpose would like to be. And so maybe you've graduated college, you were told there are going to be all these job possibilities, but you had to take a job that you really didn't like, and you just feel like you're not where you should be. Or maybe you really wanted to be married by now, but, it just seems like that's not going to happen anytime soon, and you feel lost, you feel like, I just feel on the wrong path in life. Or maybe you're retired, and you just thought you was going to be able to do all these things that you enjoy, but instead you find yourself always going to the doctor's office instead of doing the things you thought you'd be doing. And you just kind of feel like you've lost your way in all of this. Even in these messy moments, God is working your life behind the scenes to fulfill His purpose. And all of that, He's growing your faith. He's growing your character. He's strengthening your relationship with Him as you wait. He's teaching you to trust Him more, even when you can't see. He's causing everything to work out for your good behind the scenes if you love Him and you keep pursuing His purposes. And it may be tough, but even when you can't see your way, trust God is working behind the scenes for your good to fulfill those purposes in your life. And that brings us to our next step. When you can't see your way, I trust God's plan. I cooperate with His purposes instead of fighting it. And then third, I turn to Jesus for fresh perspective. I choose to turn to Jesus for a fresh perspective. The worst thing you can do when you feel lost and you can't see your way forward is just to guess. Just to pick a path and stumble your way forward, hoping that it's the best way. You take the next opportunity. Why? Well, because it was right there before you. You go out with that next person on a date. Why? Because no one else seemed interested. Rather than making things worse by just stumbling and taking whatever's in front of you, pause first and ask God to guide you, to give you His wisdom, to give you His perspective so that you can experience His best. James chapter 1, verse 5, it just says it in such a powerful way, where it says, if you need wisdom, notice he doesn't say guess or try your best. It says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. And sometimes I believe that God allows us to experience spiritual blindness so that in our desperation, we will learn to turn to Him for wisdom. So we'll learn to call out to Him in desperation, just like Bartimaeus did. He said, "Jesus, the Son of David, have mercy on me, a sinner." And notice how James describes God in this verse, that God is generous. He wants to give you wisdom. He wants to give you a vision. So remember, He knows everything, and He can give you the sight you need if you'll ask Him for it. So stop straining your eyes and your limited ability to see and ask Jesus for vision. Ask Him for His wisdom, and He'll give you that fresh perspective, and He'll give you that new mindset. When you're confused about the future and just feeling like you're in trouble, you can't see your way out, you just feel at the rock bottom, nowhere to turn, choose to trust God's plan. Cooperate with His purpose. Ask for a fresh perspective, and then when God answers your prayer, when He restores your sight, like He did with Bartimaeus, then here's the fourth step. And that is, I thank God for my new path. Write that in. I thank God for my new path. And this is important because when God helps you out of your blindness and you're beginning to see your way again, opportunities are opening up, things are clearing up, you've been given this new path that you're walking down, hope is returning to you, we need to thank God for that new path that's in front of you. Thank Him for restoring your vision, because it's easy when the doors begin to open and you start to just go down an exciting new path. You know, whether it's a new relationship or a new job or you're getting better connected at church, you're finding these new purposes, it's easy to forget that just not too long ago you were feeling blind and lost, where you couldn't see your way forward. And it's easy to forget who gave you your sight, who blessed you. Okay, so look at what Psalm 103, verse 2 says. It says, "Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things He does for me." Would you underline that last phrase? May I never forget the good things He does for me. During times of blessing, during times when you can see clearly and you're excited and you have this purpose and life is good, don't forget the good things that God has done for you. But also, don't forget the times when you were on the side of the road feeling lost and blind. And don't forget that it was Jesus who gave you that miracle, who healed you. Thank Jesus for the new path you're on. And even if you still are in that state of feeling lost and blind and you can't see your way forward yet, have faith that Jesus is going to restore your sight. And begin thanking God for the new path that's coming yet. You haven't seen it yet. But you begin thanking God for the new path that He's going to reveal to you. That's faith. That's active faith. And when God shows you the new path, when He lifts you from that blindness and you begin to move forward, don't forget this next step. And that is, I follow Jesus in close proximity. I choose to follow Jesus in close proximity. When Jesus healed Bartimaeus, the first thing He did is He used His new vision to follow Jesus. And you know what the great temptation is? When you've been blind for so long and you didn't know where to turn, and God gives you the miracle of sight, and He gives you a new purpose, He gives you this new direction, the greatest temptation is to take that for granted. To take your eyes off of Jesus. Instead of following Him to go off on your own, you're now in a good place. You don't need God, maybe. And if you give into that temptation, you're just going to end up getting lost again. And you'll end up losing your vision again. So the life of faith, it isn't knowing about Jesus. The life of faith is knowing Jesus personally. It's about this personal, real relationship with Jesus. It's about following Him daily, talking to Him, staying close to Him. The key verse for this week from Hebrews 12, beginning of verse 1, Patty read it for us earlier. I want us to read kind of the shorter version of it, just kind of the end of verse 1 and the beginning of verse 2 together. It's up here on the screen. It says, let us, right? Let's read that. Let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. If you want to win the race, the key is to keep your eyes on Jesus, to stay close to him. If you take your eyes off of Jesus, you're going to end up falling further away from him, further behind, and pretty soon you're going to be lost again, feeling blind again. So coming back to your life right now, what's distracting you? What is it that keeps getting your eyes off of Jesus? What is it in your life that keeps you going down a path other than the one that Jesus wants you to be on? Now, this is an important question. If you find yourself in this pattern of just getting off track, what is it that's distracting you? Okay, is it laziness? Is it lust? Love of money? Bad choices? A bad attitude? These things will take you away from Jesus. They'll deepen your spiritual blindness. So let me just give you a few foundational practical ways to keep your eyes on Jesus, to stay close to him so you don't lose sight, just to remind us how we do this. And the first one is just to be in church on Sunday. Well, you're hearing God's word taught and you're worshiping with your church family. Second one is be in a growth group. You know, if you're in a growth group already, make sure that you're going, you're faithful, you're attending. If you're not in a growth group, well, then this month, you know, in the next couple weeks, you're going to have an opportunity to sign up for one for this summer that'll start the middle of June. But that's really where you engage and connect with other godly people. You bring them into your life, and you pray for each other, and you go deeper into God's word. And then the third one, schedule time specific every day. When you read God's word and you pray, commit to have that time every day where you're purposely connecting with God. And then the last one, to stay close to God, number four, is to focus on others. We're to love God with all our hearts and love others as we love ourselves. And so we need to not only focus on our relationship with God, but also be sure that we're focusing on others. Find a place to serve other people where you can make a difference. So when you can't see your way, trust God's plan. Cooperate with his purpose. Turn to Jesus for a fresh perspective. Thank God for the new path when he gives it. Follow Jesus closely. And finally, here's the last step. When you can't see your way, and that is I tell others about Jesus' extraordinary power. I tell others about what Jesus has done in my life. Anytime you experience the extraordinary power of Jesus, it's not something that you can just keep to yourself. God gives it to you so that you can share it with others. It's exactly what Jesus' disciples, Peter and John, did in Acts chapter 4, where they said, we cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard. Underline those three words. We cannot stop. You know, when you've wandered around in darkness long enough, and then Jesus steps in, and he gives you sight, and he gives you this new perspective, and now it just all makes sense, and you're going to want to tell someone about it. So here's how God's work all around you. We all have people, just like you used to be, who are wandering around in darkness. And they need help. They need direction. They need answers. They're blind to the reality of their sin and brokenness that's keeping them from living the life that God created them to live. It's keeping them from being connected with God. And they might sense that what they're doing isn't working, but they're just not sure how to break out of that cycle. They just can't see their way forward. But you have the answer that they're looking for. You've experienced the extraordinary power of Jesus in your own life, where you were once this person and now Jesus has made you someone completely different. You've experienced his power in your life. All you have to do is share your story. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I can see. And I want you to have that too. And the power of Jesus that changed my life can change yours too. So how's your vision doing today? You know, if you're in a good place, you believe you're at the center of God's will, your connection with God is strong, why not just take a moment and thank God for the miracles he has done in your life along the way in the past that has helped you come to this moment of clarity? But maybe you might, right now, you might say, you know what, Pastor Todd, I'm just kind of struggling with my spiritual vision. There's some decisions I need to make, and I have no clue which one is the best, what way God is directing me toward. Or maybe you just sense that the path that you're on right now is not where God wants you to be, but you're just kind of struggling to figure out where you went wrong, and you need God's wisdom now. But everything seems so foggy and uncertain. You know what? We serve a God of miracles. And there is nothing too hard for him. Let's call out to Jesus, the Son of David, the Messiah, and tell him that you want to see. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we just quiet our hearts, just take a moment and focus on you. And we need to say that we need you. We can't see our way. We don't know what the next step is for our career or for our family or for our relationship or for our lives. And God, we need you. You know, many of us, Father, have turned to others for help, for answers, but they didn't have the answers that we needed. Jesus, we believe only you can help us find our way out of the mess we're in. And so we ask today that you would help us see our way. For anyone today who is praying for wisdom, I pray that God would give you that next step. And God, if you have already given them that next step and they're in disobedience and taking that step, I pray that you would make that clear to them. Give them a picture right now in their minds, in their heart, so they know what to do next. And that next step, it might not make any sense to you right now. It might be the opposite of what you in your own mind think ought to happen. But would you commit to doing what God is leading you to right now? He knows what's best. His plan is perfect for you. Trust God and trust his plan for you. And for anyone today who's you just feel like you're on the wrong path in life. Maybe you thought you knew what God's will was, but you just ended up making a decision that has taken you away from God. And you just sense you're going farther and farther from him. I pray that this would be clear to you too. God, would you speak to their hearts as only you can do? And may it be crystal clear where they got off track and what they need to do to start getting back on track with what your will is for them. Would you restore their sight, God? Give them the strength to cooperate with your purposes. And for anyone who's been given a miracle lately, your vision has been restored. The confusion that you'd been struggling with has lifted. God has renewed your strength and he's placed you on solid ground. Maybe it was with your health or with your family or your career, with the decision you had to make. And I pray that God would give you the strength to tell someone about it. Tell your family about it. Tell your closest friends. Tell your neighbors next door. Tell someone. Don't keep it shut up in your bones. Don't keep it all to yourself. As God has given to you, give it out to others so that he can give you even more. Thank you, God, for your goodness to us. Lord, we just praise your name. Holy Spirit, pour out your presence out on us. Pour out your power on us. Do it again. Do it again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.